Father, we just come to you as we prepare to open your word. We thank you. Oh Lord, I didn't know that song, but it touches my heart, Lord. Your grace, your all-sufficient grace, Lord, just touches. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of us, Lord. It's of you. You're the Holy One. You're the faithful one. You're the one upon whom we can call. The one who reaches out and draws us near. Give us your ear. Give us ears, Lord, to hear you. And fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Eyes to see. What you'd have us to be doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just pray, Lord, that there'd be a piece of this word for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How hard did you work for it? Not at all. Go ahead and put that first scripture up, Mark. And this is Romans 8. I don't know what version you picked out. I never told you version. So it's New King James. But I'm going to, the first two verses goes like this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is... Go ahead and sing it. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's for Judy Foster. Hi, Judy. Is that Judy back there? Yeah, that's Judy. A few weeks ago when Pastor Joseph was sharing, at the end there was that song, Life is Filled with Guns and More. And everyone got trampled on the floor. That actually came from Larry Norman, the Jesus People Times, and which was a few years ago. Okay, and God moves through his song. He speaks to us through song. This is a little chorus that we learned way back when. This morning, my wife gets up in the morning an hour before I do. I lay in bed and do my devotions. And because in our motorhome, there's not room for two in the bathroom. And so she always turns on her little iPod. And this morning, there was that song, You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of my Lord. You are. And I hope he is that to you. That he's the one that you can go to. That was written by a friend of mine named Mike Ledner. He now pastors in Scottsdale. And I can remember we were at a concert where different people were just sharing songs the Lord had given him. And I sang a song of... I led the worship in a song of his. After the meeting was over, he came up to me and said, I was glad you used my song, but you did it wrong. It showed me how to do it right. So after he was finishing showing me, he had led part of the worship, and he did one of my songs, and I said, let me tell you, you did that song, I was pleased with it, but you did it wrong. Let me show you how you should do it. But that's what the Lord was doing and is still doing. I don't know if you guys back there can do this, but can you go to YouTube and see if you can find The River by Jordan Felice? And there's one version on YouTube that has the words, and we'll do that at the end, maybe. How many of you are old? Okay. Yeah, you see? Yeah, well, I'm enjoying being 70. I'm not as old as Atticus, though. He tells me he's going to be 71, right? So he's like 10 months older than me. So I'm enjoying it. But you know what? There are songs that come along that for some reason, sometimes it's the music that grabs you. Sometimes it's the words. Sometimes it's both. This song, The River, my grandson Samuel, he really likes it. So if we get to it, we get to it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in... There it isn't. For those... for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, I have it here on my thing. You got it up there? Okay. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit... Go on, Mark. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Go on. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Who? God did by the sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I challenge you when you go home. Read this whole chapter. Actually, it'd be good to read the whole book. The whole book. Last week when that young guy preached, Brother LaRon, I have to confess that during his sermon, I was reading Samuel, and the Lord was speaking to me as he was preaching, and moved upon me. This morning, as Pastor Joseph was praying, he started praying and speaking something that God was saying to me at the very same time. So I'm going to repeat it in case you didn't hear it. You need to pray in the Spirit. Why does the church lose power? They don't walk in the power of the Spirit. You need to pray in the Spirit. In the book of Acts, I think it's the people at the... Paul asked the people at the church of Ephesus, they were going to be the church at Ephesus. He asked them, have you received since you believed? I could be wrong, could be a different group, but... Have you believed? Have you received since you believed? God has given us gifts. He has given us gifts that we might be able to walk in the power of His kingdom, not just in our own power. Not in the power of rules and regulation, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out. Jesus poured out His lifeblood for you and I. You and me. That's correct grammar. Okay? I saw Angela there. Okay. He poured out His lifeblood. And when He did, He spoke these words. I'm going to send to you another Comforter. His name is Holy Spirit. And at the end of the message, if we get that far, we'll see about some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. But it's important for us to go beyond flesh and blood strength. Flesh and blood strength. And I've been pricked in my heart recently to start to pray in the Spirit more. To pray in the Spirit. It's easy to do it in the shower. It's easy to do it when Ryan's leading the worship. And especially when you don't know the words and you want to keep your eyes closed. But we need to. It needs to be an activity of our own. Go ahead and go to 1 Samuel 28, Mark, and let me find it in here. When Laron was sharing, this is what jumped out to me. I'm going to begin reading in 28. My notes say verse 3. So I guess I'll start there. It says, "And now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him, and they buried in Ramah, and in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land." Now, why did all of Israel lament over the death of Samuel? It was because he was the prophet, or actually he was called a judge, that brought the word of the Lord to the people, brought direction. And this part that says Saul got away with these mediums and stuff. Have you seen there's a TV show about, I don't know, the medium from Brooklyn or something? I don't. Who? Long Island medium. Medium. Hallelujah. By the way, Friday night, I couldn't talk. I'd open my mouth and try to talk, and it wasn't working. And I went to bed that night. I took a cough drop, and I prayed in the Spirit. And I said, "Lord, if you want me to preach Sunday, you got to do something about this." So I was ready to call Joseph, but God is good. Hallelujah. Saul put the mediums out and the spiritists. There's this program, and as soon as if I hear a commercial on it or something, as soon as it comes, that's why God gave us remotes. Get rid of that stuff. Have you ever noticed how insidious the media is? I mean, on a perfectly good, somewhat good program, the commercials will be about something hideous, something terrible. So that's why you got a button. You can either do something with it. Then the Philistines gathered together. Now notice Paul put all these mediums and spiritists out. By the way, so should you. You should have nothing to do with that. Okay? Horoscopes. Tarot cards, is that what they're called? Tarot, whatever. Should have nothing to do with anything like that. It just, it's not of God. So anyway. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And, you know, if you were faced with something like that, do you think maybe you would do that? Reminds me of my grandkids and my kids. So, hallelujah. Wouldn't you tremble if you saw a great army coming against you? Now, this army outnumbered Saul's army at least, they say at least 4-1. So, if not much greater. Okay? So then Saul inquired of the Lord, and here's the words when Laron was preaching last week. This is what spoke to me. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim, or by the prophets. The Lord did not answer him. What did Saul want? He wanted to hear from God. And I believe that anyone that's a true born-again believer wants to hear from God. You want to hear that voice of God. I've actually had people say, well, I've never heard God's voice. Well, I don't mean, you know, way down there, that type of thing. I will always tell people, did you feel pricked in your heart that you needed to, that you were a sinner? Did you realize that Jesus was the one who can forgive you of your sin? You were hearing God's voice when that happened. And what you need to do is abide in that and live in that and continue to hear God's voice. All right? Now, sometimes I need to put this disclaimer out there. Sometimes we hear the wrong voices. The voice of the Lord will agree with this word. They will not send you contrary. God told me to divorce my husband. I don't agree with that because God hates divorce. If you've been through a divorce or something like that, God is gracious. He loves you, and He's the one that can sustain you and bring you through. When it says here by the Urim, do you know what that is? By dreams and Urim. The Urim were the stones in the breastplate of the high priest. And somehow, don't ask me how, I don't know how these things work, The Urim was not, they would light up. The light of God would shine from them, from that breastplate. And would, in a way, confirm which way, which path would be taken. And the prophets would do the same. They would tell which prophet, which way should be taken. Sometimes God spoke to His people through dreams. I told Angela a week or two ago, I said, my wife had a dream. You and Ryan were adopting a 9-year-old boy. So I said, but don't consider that's from God. And so she may have had too much pizza or something. I don't know. So there are God's dreams and there are our own dreams, right? And when I have dreams, I seldom ever remember what a dream is. What I'm trying to say is, though, we want to hear from God. I went through a time in my life. It was in the late 70s, early 80s. I had made some mistakes and gotten in trouble. Any of you ever do that? Anybody ever make a mistake and do stupid things? Okay. I did admit, confess, and ask God for help and everything. But I could not hear God's voice the way I had before. And I wasn't blaming God that I couldn't hear His voice. I was actually blaming myself. And I went through, I guess it was, I didn't go to a psychologist or anything to find out if it was depression. But I believe I was depressed. I even contemplated suicide. That's how serious it was. And it was, I was in that state. I was still serving God. I was still teaching in a Christian school. I was still leading worship. I was still trying to be a daddy to my kids and doing all that God had called me to do. But I couldn't hear God's voice. I couldn't hear God's voice. What's the remedy to that? Huh? In our society, it's like, you put in 2 cups of flour, some bacon powder and sugar and, then you bake it and you're all fixed up. What's the remedy to having that depression, to not being able to hear God's voice like I had before? What's the remedy to that? Have you been there, any of you? Just weird people like me do that. Some of you have. Maybe not to that depth. You know, not to the depth that I'm talking about, but I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God's voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you remember reading that? We're going to read it in a minute in Isaiah. I don't know if you guys knew it was in Isaiah, but it's in Revelation, but I'm going to show you it in Isaiah. But that's what you got to do is hear. He that hath an ear. Who gives you the ear? God. So what do? You wait on Him. One day, now I'm not going to say this is going to happen to all of y'all, but one day I was homesick from work, from teaching. I was a teacher. I was homesick. I can still picture it. I was sitting on the end of my bed. I had my son's guitar and his little amp. He had an electric guitar. And I was playing it, just playing chords and reading my Bible. My Bible was on the floor. Back in those days, I could still see. And I had trouble reading my Bible up here because these things get in the way. But anyway, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I found myself singing the words I was reading. And just going along. And there was one verse. It's Psalm 86, verse 5, I think. Or 85, verse 6. It's one of those two. And it's, For Thou, Lord, art good and plenteous in mercy. And I forgot the rest. What? I can sing it. And ready to forgive is in there. And that's what spoke to me, the ready to forgive. That's the character of God, ready to forgive. And I had asked for forgiveness. I knew He forgived or forgave. And it had to drop. It had to become rhema in me. It had to do its work. And I heard God through singing that song. It's become a song that I love to sing. I can't play it, but I love to sing it. Well, He was there for me. He still called out for me. I think back to when, before I asked Christ into my life, when I first met Purdy, I didn't know Jesus. He was calling me. He was calling me. He knew I would be attracted to a girl with long hair. Now look at her. We go to Walmart. That's where we go on most of our day trips. You know, Walmart. And I'm amazed at how many people will stop her and say, "Your hair is so beautiful." And I feel proud because after living with me for 50 years, that's why your hair is so white like that. You know, it's the stress just does it to her. So anyway, the hearing is His gift to us. It was His gift to me. It's not my doing. He wants to receive me. He wants to receive you and communicate with you. And I believe every day of your life, He wants to communicate to you. How do you get communication? Well, you listen to preaching. When your pastor stands up here and says, "You need to pray in the Spirit, we need to do it more," we ought to hear, "Yeah, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I will do that, Lord." Okay? That's part of hearing. Sometimes it's when you open your scripture, you know, doing your devotions. I have like 4 or 5 different devotionals that I get on email. They come in during the night, so when I wake up in the morning, they're waiting for me. And they speak to me. Okay? One of them is my favorite. Speaks to me more, but the guy that does that devotional is one of the men in my life from years in the past. And maybe that's why he speaks to me so much. He speaks to you through the worship, as Ryan, especially that last song, Ryan. That just speaks to me because I'm a product of God's grace and nothing else. I'm a product of God's grace. You're a product of God's grace. Do you ever pray, Lord, give me what I deserve? Yeah. You know, I used to have a friend that used to say, Lord, give me patience. And we'd all move further away from him. Tribulation worketh patience. You know, we didn't want to be in on that with him. So anyway, well, let's go to Isaiah 55 and we'll see where it says what I told you. What did I tell you I'm going to show you in Isaiah? He that hath an ear, let him hear. Who's told Isaiah? Here it is. Isaiah 55. Ho. Now this is this in the New King James? Oh, yeah. My Bible's New King James. This one's Old King James. So anyway, it says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come, buy wine, milk, without money and without price. And we're going to go on a little further in a minute, but in there it just said, everyone that has an ear, let him hear. Do you know where it said that? Ho. Ho. That's what that ho means. Ho. You ready to listen? You got the ear of the Lord? That's what that means. Okay? So, look at those words. Look at those words. They're so precious. Everyone who thirsts. Is it just the Jew? No. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And that song we're going to do at the end maybe has that in there too. Come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Well, how can you get wine and milk? Whoa. My lips are not working today. Okay. How can you get it without money? How did you get salvation? What did it cost you? Huh? What did eternal life cost you? What did you have to pay? Nada. He paid it all. How's that song go? I owe a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. He did it all. Christ has done it all for us. That's what this is saying. This is prophetic about Jesus. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what's good. There's that word, listen. And I believe it's listen with the ear that God has given you. Practice using that ear. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, the leader of and commander of the people. And so we see here, God is calling for us to hear. At the end of the Bible, he says, you got an ear to hear me? We need to take the time and seek the Lord. Seek him while he still may be found. Look at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Okay, there will come times in every one of our lives when it seems like God is far, far away. Okay? But he isn't really. Okay? And there may be a time, maybe even in this land, we may get the privilege of being persecuted for just naming the name of Christ. like our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are being persecuted today. Horrendous things being done. But let me tell you, in places where the Christians are being persecuted the most, the church is alive and well. And strong and growing. Churches that had 5 people before the persecution started now can't hold the people that are coming. There are churches that started handing out food and a scripture, a New Testament. And now people are coming by the thousands. These are Muslim people coming by the thousands and wanting to hear the word of God more than they do the food that's being handed out. The church is alive and well. You know, and we sit back here in America and take it easy. Let's seek the Lord. You know, maybe your part is sending funds. Definitely your part is praying. Hear what the Lord would have you to do. You'll find that the Lord does not want you to center in upon you. He'll take care of you. He'll want you to see, as Brother Peter was saying up here about the things that are coming up. He wants you to reach out. One of the songs, I think, was that too. Or was it just what he was saying? I don't remember. That's good. When you get my age, the gift of remembrance kind of leaves you. I now have the gift of forgetfulness. In verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55, it's kind of like a verse comes to your heart and you just can't read one verse by itself. You start going through chapter by chapter by chapter, and God starts speaking to you. This word is rich, folks. Don't leave it on your bedstand. Don't leave it on the coffee table. Read it. Let it speak to you. In verse 8 and 9 it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my way, says the Lord." Have you ever noticed that? God doesn't do it the way you think He should. All right? "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So listen. Listen for His thought. Listen for His way. Now we'll get to New Testament, the Gospel of John. And the reason I'm turning in my Bible is because all I did was write the references down. I didn't write the whole scriptures out. I lost my computer program that does that. So in John 14, are you there? Are you there? Okay. Makes it easy for us, doesn't it? But the 14, 15, and 16 to me are like a sandwich. You know, and then it's about, and in my Bible, it's almost all red. Y'all know what that means? Okay. The words of Jesus. So, in verse 26, let me say this. "And Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will what? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." He will teach you. He'll bring to your remembrance what you need to know for a situation. You know? When you start sharing with somebody what Jesus did for you, how blessed you are, He'll just bring scriptures to your remembrance. if you got him in there in the first place, you know. He'll bring circumstances that'll minister to that person. And he'll also give you the unction to say, would you like to pray and ask Jesus into your life? You know? So here is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you. Now, when people teach, usually they speak, don't they? So if he's teaching us, what do we got to do? We need to hear the Holy Spirit. In John 15:26, just remember the 26s in these two chapters. Okay? And Jesus said, but when the helper, now that word helper is really the Holy Spirit, Paracletus, he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. So he makes no doubt who the helper is, right? The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, when somebody testifies something, what do? Huh? They speak. So somebody that receives a testimony has to hear. That's all I'm getting to today, guys. When God speaks, you should hear. Chapter 16. This is one that everyone loves. Chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Oh, I forgot. And Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. They're not in red up there, are they? Huh. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the helper, who's the helper? Will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he has come, he will what? Any of you ever been convicted? Huh? Yeah. But aren't you glad when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, also the grace of God comes with it? The sure mercies of God come with it? His forgiveness is there for you? Aren't you glad? Well, where was I? Now, I have actually preached a whole message on these few verses. So, excuse me a minute. Okay. Where was I? What verse am I on? It is hard to find the right lens here. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe on me. They don't believe. Hallelujah. Do you know sometimes people have a hard time? If you're a good radical Christian, they'll have a hard time with you just because they don't believe. Okay? You know, I actually the other day had somebody telling me, I can't agree with that. I said, that's because you don't believe. And you don't love my Jesus. This guy was a Christian. And of righteousness, verse 10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I think of, when I read that verse, I think of somewhere in the world, there's a meter stick. Do y'all know what a meter stick is? It measures. I think it's in Paris somewhere, or England, or someplace. Yeah. There's a meter stick. It is the meter stick. Kept at a certain temperature because it's made out of certain material that does not expand and contract. It's the meter stick. It's the standard for all those little wooden meter sticks you buy, or yardsticks, or us gringos. All right? It's a standard. And they check the ones that get made should be checked against this standard. Well, that's what Jesus says here of righteousness, because I go to the Father. The standard, that meter stick, is no longer here for us to look at, to get measured up to. So the Holy Spirit, He will measure us. And He'll bring conviction just to let you know, hey, you're not quite at the right, you know, you've expanded a little too much. Well, you done did shrink. One of those things, you know. That's how I look at that verse. That has something to do with my mathematical background, maybe. I don't know. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Oh, Slewfoot is judged. He is judged. And he's found at loss. So, that's how the Holy Spirit works. Verse 13, if you skip down there. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, who's the Spirit of truth? Holy Spirit. When He's come, He will guide. That's why I don't get all freaked out. You know, somebody gives their life to Jesus, you know, and they're not in Bible studies every night of the week and stuff like that. Because if they love God, the Holy Spirit will guide and teach and direct them. He will do it. He will do it. It wasn't that way for me. You know, I got saved and got asked to leave my church. It was a little different. And why are you giggling? You know the story. Well, I wasn't going to go into the story. But now I lost my train. Hallelujah. When I got saved, I just sought out Bible study after Bible study. That was more important to me than anything else. My grades in college showed it. I wanted to learn the Word of God. I didn't want to learn anthropology. So, anyway, verse 13, is that where I was? Okay. He'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And if He speaks, we should hear, we should listen. And He will tell you things to come. As Pastor Joseph has been sharing in the few weeks prior to this, he's trying to tell us things to come that he's hearing through the Holy Spirit. We should do what? Hear. And pray. Do you ever get a little bit afraid? My daughter says, yeah. She knows it's so safe to answer in front of me. I won't get on her case. Shame on you for being afraid. I do. And then I think, well, Lord, You've taken care of me for quite a long time. You will give me grace for the next day and the next day. So what am I supposed to do, Lord? What am I supposed to do? So, He'll speak and He'll tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He'll glorify Jesus. For He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Anybody here ever hear the Holy Spirit or God audibly? Anybody? Some have. Okay. Have any of you heard Him in your spirit? If you're born again, you should have. Okay. And as Joseph said earlier, choose life. Choose to take time. Make habits in your life. I've read somewhere it takes so many times of doing something. Forget the numbers. you know, like so many days of doing something to build a habit. You know, if it takes a month, do it for a month. Maybe that habit will be there. Coming before the Lord, ready to listen, ready to be a partaker of the grace of God that reaches out to you day by day. Now, if there's anybody here that hasn't yet given their life to Christ, this is a good time to do it. This is a good time to say, Jesus, yes, I do need you. I have sinned. There's a name for somebody like that. It's called a sinner. God came to save sinners. Jesus came for that. That was his purpose. He didn't come for the righteous. He came to save sinners. And his word goes out amongst the whole world for that purpose, to save sinners. And then we get the privilege of glorifying Jesus, glorifying God as we walk in newness of life. If you're one that hasn't and needs to give your life to Jesus, at the end of the service, just come up here. Did you guys find that song? You did? Have you got the music that goes with it? Can we play it? I want you to think about the words. Are the words going to come up? Okay, so we're well prepared here. We're like a well-greased machine. Bless God. Bless God. Go ahead. Now, to somebody that hasn't been learning the word and stuff, that doesn't mean a whole lot to them. So you can share that song with people and then explain it to them of what it means and to be washed. The river is the blood of Christ that flows from the bosom of God to touch us, cleanse us, make us His. So I'm going to ask you something. Is there anyone here that will make a commitment to listen for the Lord more? Anybody? Yeah? We're going to need to. We're going to need to. Sometimes God speaks in a small, still voice. Sometimes He roars. Be ready for both. Thank the sound people for toning that down. Hallelujah. And in that song is still the message of my heart, which is the message of God's grace. God's grace. Father, we lift our hands to You. We want to be a people that receive of You, Lord. Receive the touch and the words of Your kingdom, O Lord. We want to be empowered. So we commit ourselves to You, Lord. We commit to hear, to listen to what You have to say to us, Lord, through Your word, through preaching, through whatever ways, Lord, that You bring Your word to us. We'll confirm it, Lord, with this scripture. And we will be a people, Lord, that move out through the unction of Your Holy Spirit, through the guidance that You give and You pour out onto us, Lord. We will be a people, Lord, who, as Your word was spoken today, we'll be a people that will exercise that spiritual gift that You've given to us. Your scripture says it's whereby we may build ourselves up, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to be a built-up house. A built-up house, Lord, that's strong. Lord, that looks out beyond ourselves. Lord, we can say, thank You. You have met our need. You've been there when we've cried out to You, Lord. Your ways, though, have been higher than our ways. Lord, we ask You to do it one way, You do it a different, and it's good or better than what we imagined. We found You, Jesus, to be the faithful, loving, precious God to us. A person, not a statue. a person who touches us, who touches us in the depth of our being. Lord, we ask you, let your Spirit well up within us, overflow within us, O Lord, as we desire to hear more of you, as we desire, Lord, to be filled more and more of you. We confess to you, Jesus, we have leaked. We need more. We need to be refilled. Lord, we read your word. We want to be a people that do it too. Let your Spirit enable us. Let us get beyond who we've been, Lord, and move on to your calling for us. We pray. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus and you haven't done it already, just come forward and I'll pray with you. I'll talk with you, or some of the other pastors or elders will. The rest of you may be dismissed in the love of God. Be blessed. Bye-bye.